Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Welcome to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo, keeping you connected to your faith and your world. Teresa tackles the issues of faith and culture, the pro-life message, and media awareness. And now, here's Teresa Tomeo.
And we do hope your Tuesday is going well. It's Tuesday, August 21st, 2018. Good to be with you on the network. And we have a lot to talk about this morning, and I'm sure you'll want to weigh in on the conversation. We'll give you the phone number after the news. There's a lot of that as well. Dr. Jennifer Robeck Morris from the Ruth Institute. She's amazing. She's a great speaker, a great teacher of the faith, especially in the areas of the church teaching on marriage and sexuality. And she joins us. She has a couple of, well, she has a ton of great articles, but in particular related to what we're going through right now in the church. Her most recent piece is taking a look at the connection between the Theodore McCarricks in the church and the Harvey Weinsteins in the world. And her basic message is, this is what happens when you turn your back on God and the natural law. And it's really well done, respectfully done, and she has a lot of things to say. She also has an interview with one of her own experts, a priest, who has a background in psychology and has studied this issue. And she calls out the problem of homosexuality in the church, and particularly among the clergy and church officials. And I think the only bishop so far to really call out that problem, which they need to really talk about if they're going to solve the issues that we're facing right now, is Bishop Merlino of Madison, Wisconsin, who put out an extremely strong statement over the weekend. Many of you may have already seen it. I know that EWTNnews.com and other Catholic news outlets have covered it, along with EWTN News Nightly. So we'll talk about all that with Dr. Jennifer, as well as take your calls and questions. I do want to remind you that Wednesday, tomorrow, at 11 a.m., I will be doing a full webcast on this issue with Dr. Janet Smith from Sacred Heart Major Seminary, who's an expert on the area also, as Jennifer is, on the sexual teachings in the church, sexuality teachings in the church, contraception, and just taking a look at the overall culture and the climate and what led us to this point. Janet has a lot of comments and a lot of concerns, a lot of great insight with her experience, years and years of teaching and writing and speaking around the world on the beauty of church teaching, especially Humana Vitae. And we're also going to be talking about some of the lay efforts that are underway and what we can do to get involved. And joining me will be Faith Hakesley, who was on the program last week, and she has some ideas on creating some special venues where victims can speak out. There are some efforts underway right now where people, the church, is trying to make a way forward for folks who haven't spoken up already about their experience, where they would feel safe. So what Faith is going to be talking about is maybe this has to be done separately as lay people, because there's such a lack of trust right now in leadership that if a victim or someone who had an experience wants to share it, besides going on Facebook and saying something, what else can they do to make sure that their situation is followed up upon? So we'll discuss all of that tomorrow, and you may register. It's free. osv.com/webcast. And again, you don't have to listen live, but I hope you do, because you'll have an opportunity then to ask questions of Janet Smith and Faith, and that's tomorrow at 11 a.m. Eastern. But you can go to my Facebook page as well. I have it, and I just did an e-blast on it. We'll be doing one this morning, and that is facebook.com/Mrs. Teresa Tomeo. So Dr. Jennifer Robeck Morris today, and then after that, we're going to be chatting with Kelly Solomon, the editor of the Newman Guide. Now imagine if your students are trying to keep their faith and they're going back to school in the midst of all of this bad news that's out there about the church. Well, the Newman Society, she's the editor, by the way, Kelly is, of the Newman Guide. She has some great ideas on how to help your students protect and grow their faith on campus. So Kelly joins us. She's terrific. She's been on with me before. And this is 39 minutes past the hour on our Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. NewmanSociety.org. is the website, NewmanSociety.org. We have a ton of news. As I always tell Andrew when I'm sending him my news in the morning, ton of news this morning, a lot of sound bites, a lot of different things coming out of the Vatican and across the country. So let's get to that right now. It is a Tuesday morning edition of Catholic Connection. We are live from Domino's Farms in southeastern Michigan, and we'll see what's happening in and around the world on August 21st, 2018. Well, you probably heard by now the Pope issued a letter yesterday after he learned about the situation and the grand jury report from Pennsylvania. Christopher Wells from the Vatican has that story.
The Pope's letter comes in response to an ongoing crisis of sexual abuse by a significant number of clerics and consecrated persons, crimes that were covered up and perpetuated by those who should have been protecting the vulnerable. In particular, the Holy Father referred to a report released by a grand jury in the U.S. state of Pennsylvania, which, he wrote, detailed the experiences of at least 1,000 survivors, victims of sexual abuse, the abuse of power and of conscience at the hands of priests over a period of approximately 70 years. However, despite being occasioned by the recent scandals, the director of the Holy See Press Office, Greg Burke, insisted the letter was meant for the whole church.
This is about Ireland, this is about the United States, and this is about Chile. But not only. Pope Francis has written to the people of God, and that means everyone.
In his letter, Pope Francis admits that the church has failed to deal adequately with the crisis of abuse. With shame and repentance, he says, we acknowledge as an ecclesial community that we were not where we should have been, that we did not act in a timely manner, realizing the magnitude and the gravity of the damage done to so many lives. Pope Francis also calls for solidarity with those who have been abused. Such solidarity, he said, demands that we, in turn, condemn whatever endangers the integrity of the person. It is a solidarity that summons us to fight all forms of corruption, especially spiritual corruption. The Pope also notes that the Church has delayed in applying the actions and sanctions that are necessary for the implementation of a zero-tolerance policy. But he said he's confident that those actions and sanctions will help to guarantee a greater culture of care in the present and the future. As Greg Burke explains,
Pope Francis's greater accountability is urgently needed, not only for those who committed these crimes, but also for those who covered them up, which in many cases means bishops.
Pope Francis in his letter calls on all the baptized to be part of the ecclesial and social change we so greatly need.
Pennsylvania Attorney General, meanwhile, Josh Shapiro, calling the Pope's letter powerful, saying he hopes it promotes church leaders in the state to stop their denials and deflections. And tips are flooding the hotline for clergy sex abuse after that grand jury released the report on the clergy abuse allegations in Pennsylvania. In a tweet this week, State Attorney General Josh Shapiro saying the hotline has been lit up and survivors are now seeking justice. So far, over 300 calls have come in since the release of the report last week, which is the biggest uptick in response since 2016. A Catholic priest in Texas has gone missing after he was accused of sexual abuse. Bishop Edward Burns of the Diocese of Dallas discussing the allegations over the weekend.
The allegations came from three adults who said the criminal sexual acts occurred while they were in their mid-teens. The allegations were found to be credible.
The diocese says the Reverend Edmundo Paredes was accused of abuses that took place more than 10 years ago. Burns saying that two private investigators are working to track the priest down, that he might have already returned to his native Philippines. The diocese also saying that the priest himself admitted to financial misconduct between $60,000 and $8,000 when that went missing. The priest left his church before the allegations were made public. The World Meeting of Families opening this week in Ireland today, actually. The event held in different locations every 3 years, aiming to promote the care of families and protect their rights in the church and the civilized society. Pope Francis will be in Dublin over the weekend to mark the event, which comes as a church, as we've been mentioning, has been dealing with new reports of sexual abuse by priests. A notorious Nazi war criminal, as Sara Lee Kessler explains, has now been arrested in New York City and deported back to Germany.
ICE agents arrested Yaqub Pauly at his home in Queens Monday. The 95-year-old removed in his wheelchair, transferred to a stretcher, and driven off. The White House says he was a guard at a Nazi labor camp who lied about his identity to get into the U.S. He's been a citizen since 1957. A White House statement says Pauly took part in a 1943 massacre that killed 6,000 Jews. Sara Lee Kessler, New York.
The legal fight over online 3D printable gun designs continuing today. A Seattle judge issuing a temporary halt on Texas-based Defense Distributed from posting 3D printable gun designs online on July 31st. There are 19 states in the District of Columbia asking the Seattle judge to block the State Department from allowing the files to be posted until the case is fully argued in court. A rocket attack, as Bill Zimfer reports, interrupting a holiday speech by the president of Afghanistan. That happened today.
The rockets hit the diplomatic district in Kabul today as President Ashraf Ghani was delivering an address to mark the Eid al-Adha Muslim holiday. No one was reported injured by the rockets, but helicopter gunships responded by destroying a house where the rockets were fired from. The incident comes after Ghani proposed a three-month-long ceasefire for the holiday. It also comes 1 year to the day after President Trump announced a new U.S. strategy for Afghanistan. Despite that, the situation there remains a stalemate.
The man who tried to murder former President Ronald Reagan will have a psychological exam as he pushes for unconditional release. 63-year-old John Hinckley Jr. has lived under strict supervision in Williamsburg, Virginia since 2016. That's when he was released from St. Elizabeth's Hospital. Hinckley was found not guilty by reason of insanity back in the 1981 assassination attempt in Washington. He was under institutional psychiatric care for 34 years. Until he was released to live with his elderly mother 2 years ago, Hinckley said he wanted to kill Reagan to impress actress Jodie Foster, with whom he was obsessed. Microsoft, as Mike Power explains, says it has shut down six websites that tried to pose as a U.S. Senate conservative organizations and Microsoft itself.
The software giant says the fake sites aimed to trick people into thinking they were clicking on sites run by the conservative Washington think tank, the Hudson Institute. Another target was the International Republican Institute, a nonprofit pro-democracy group with many prominent Republicans on its board of directors. The Institute's president blamed the attack on Russian President Vladimir Putin.
The CDC now saying suicide is the second leading cause of death among young people ages 10 to 19 years old. Dr. John Ackerman is the suicide prevention coordinator at the Nationwide Children's Hospital in Columbus and has some thoughts on what's driving this crisis.
We aren't doing a good enough job identifying those kids who are most at risk, and we need to make sure that we're armed to be able to ask the questions to those who are showing warning signs and make sure that they get the help that they need quickly.
He wants parents to be able to recognize warning signs, including hopelessness, overwhelming emotional pain, talking about suicide, feeling like a burden. Changes in diet, sleep, energy levels, or interest, the doctor says if you suspect your child is at risk, seek immediate help. And a Florida congressman, as Mark Mayfield explains, is making headlines for a very distasteful joke about President Trump drowning.
During a rally on Sunday, Al C. Hastings asked the crowd the difference between a crisis and a catastrophe.
A crisis is if Donald Trump falls into the Potomac River and can't swim. A catastrophe is anybody saves his
The Sun Sentinel is reporting the Democratic congressman who represents Broward and Palm Beach counties also took digs at Trump, saying there is no question that something is tragically wrong with the president in his mind. There was no initial comment from Hastings' office.
Melania Trump shining a spotlight on cyberbullying, the First Lady promoting her Be Best campaign during a summit in Maryland over the weekend.
We still need to do all we can to provide them with information and tools for successful and safe online habits.
She said she wants America's children to have a smooth path forward. Mrs. Trump warned that social media can be destructive and harmful when it's used incorrectly. She stresses the importance of promoting the safe and responsible use of the Internet. And finally, in our newscast at about 13 minutes past the hour on this Tuesday, August 21st, 2018, the First Lady is also going to Africa in the fall for her first big solo trip. The October visit will be her first time on the continent, and she says she wants to learn about the issues facing children in that part of the world. The First Lady saying in a statement, "We live in a very global society, and open dialogue is critical to learning from each other." Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll start taking your calls, 877-573-7825. Again, that's toll-free, 877-573-7825. It's Catholic Connection on a Tuesday morning, August 21st. We are co-produced by Ave Maria Radio out of southeastern Michigan and, of course, the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. For all kinds of great resources and to keep up to date on this developing story of the crisis in the church, don't forget to check out AveMariaRadio.net and EWTN.com and all of our terrific news sources that are all over this major developing story. When we come back, speaking of being all over this story and giving us great resources, our friend Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse from the Ruth Institute joins us with her insights, and we'll also talk with Kelly Solomon later on. She's the editor of the Newman Guide. Lots of Catholic students heading off to college. How will they stand up for the faith, especially in the midst of this crisis? Kelly will help us with that. And we'll be right back on a Tuesday. Stay tuned.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
This Ave Maria program is brought to you in part by the nonprofit CMF Curo.
Do you want an affordable healthcare option that enables you to protect your family and live your Catholic faith? CMF Curo is the Catholic healthcare ministry that works to bring health to the whole person, spirit, mind, and body. CMF Curo allows you to share health costs with other Christians and is more affordable than health insurance. Go to mycatholichealthcare.com. That's mycatholichealthcare.com. CMF Curo, healthcare fully alive.
Hello, this is Steve Ray. I'd like to invite you to go on a pilgrimage with me. Why a pilgrimage? It's life-changing. It makes the Bible come alive. We have several coming up in the fall and winter of this year. St. Paul Cruise, 9 biblical sites, Mexico and Guadalupe. It's very safe and beautiful, by the way, and many to the Holy Land.
Pick the pilgrimage that's right for you. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the pilgrimage link. There's 2 coming up and a lot more to come. AveMariaRadio.net.
Catholic Connection is underwritten in part by Charity Mobile. Communication is critical, and in today's world, your cellular service is your lifeline to family and friends. Ave Maria Radio and Charity Mobile are partners in communicating the most important message of all, the good news of Jesus Christ. Charity Mobile is a provider of cellular LTE phones and service and has been a proud supporter of Ave Maria Radio and other pro-life causes for more than 10 years. More information at CharityMobile.com. Charity Mobile. Charity begins at phone.
It's a Tuesday. It's EWTN. It's Catholic Connection. And we are live with you. We want to open up the phone lines. We have our friend, Dr. Jennifer Roback Morris, who is such a great teacher, speaker, author, and she's out there on the front lines talking about the beauty and truth of church teaching, does a lot with marriage, human sexuality, and really just gets to the heart of the matter, which is what we need to do and what we're facing right now. She also has a brand new book out. We'll get to that in a second. I originally wanted her on for her book, but since this whole story started to break earlier this summer with Theodore McCarrick and then the report out of Pennsylvania. Now we have two cardinals who won't be going to the World Meeting of Families because it's related to this abuse crisis. We have the Pope's letter that came out yesterday. We have Bishop Marlino's letter over the weekend from Madison. Jennifer, I don't know where to begin. There's so much to talk about. But first of all, thank you for addressing this situation head on. Thanks for joining us, too, as well. Good morning.
Well, thank you so much for having me on. I'm delighted to talk to all of your listeners because I know people are hungry to try to figure out what to think and what to say and, most of all, what to do. So I'm so glad to be talking with you, Teresa.
All right, so your thoughts as we look at what happened earlier this summer with the revelations about McCarrick, Theodore McCarrick, and now what we see in the grand jury report, which came out last week. My thoughts are that there's a lot of people saying that there's many inaccuracies in the grand jury report. Okay, I get that. Dr. Matthew Bunsen and I addressed that last week on this program. But what I see, Jen, and maybe this is a reporter in me, but what I see are clear patterns of behavior that were allowed to fester and eventually explode to the point of where we are today. So even though many of those cases in that report involve priests who are now passed away, long gone, there are a few current cases, but most of it is in the past. What we see is a pattern of behavior that has still not been addressed.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And we could have known this back in 2002 with the scandal that took place at that time, and then the John Jay reports, which came out in 2004 and again in 2011, very clearly showing a pattern of man-on-man or male-on-male, we should say, sexual predation. So a person in a position of authority, power, and trust, namely in this case a priest or a bishop or, God forbid, even a cardinal, a person in a position of trust and power and authority using that position of power, trust, and authority to indulge himself sexually. And 80% of the cases in the earlier reports, over 80% of the cases, were male-on-male sexual predation. So there's no question that we've got something specific that we're dealing with, which is a network of people covering up and, in some respects, enabling male-on-male sexual abuse. So we've got to call that like it is. We can't pretend that it's that we can somehow sweep that under the rug and say, well, it's pedophilia. Pedophilia is a distinct disease. It has nothing to do with homosexuality. Or, there were a lot of women on that press conference that they had in Pennsylvania. So I guess it was as much women as it was men. No, that's not the case. And we need to be able to speak forthrightly about that, because in our culture today, in our day and time, the word gay has been glamorized and sanitized, really, by the gay establishment, by the people that we could fairly call the establishment, which is not immediately connected to the Catholic Church, but as Catholics, that's part of the environment in which we're now operating. So we have to acknowledge that that's out there. So those would be my opening comments for people to kind of sink their teeth into. And I'm sure a lot of your listeners have kind of already figured this out. Heck, why aren't we talking about the male on male aspect of this thing? Why is that the elephant in the sacristy that we aren't talking about? And I'm saying, well, we better start talking about it. We better start talking about it correctly and accurately to the best of our ability.
If you're joining us on Catholic Connection this morning, we are live Tuesday, August 21st, with Dr. Jennifer Robeck Morris from the Ruth Institute, giving us her insights on the scandals that we're facing in the church. We did have an extremely strong letter, probably, I think, the strongest statement I've seen so far, and a lot of us online are concurring on this, from a bishop calling out the problem of homosexuality in the church and what's going on in terms of some of the leadership. Do you think other bishops will follow?
I assume you're talking about Bishop Morlino.
Yes, Bishop Morlino from Madison, right. Mm-hmm.
His letter really was exceptional because there was no hint of tap dancing around the issue. I would say that this is a man with a clean conscience, a completely clean conscience. And I think that a lot of people, are hesitating because for I don't know what reason some of these bishops are not being more forthright. But some of them sound more like bureaucrats than they sound like pastors, and that needs to stop. And of course, everybody looks at a letter that looks like it was written by a PR firm. The bishops, pastors, you need to understand that when we read a letter like that, we look at that and think, what is he hiding? There's a cloud of suspicion over everybody, whether that's fair or not. That's the cost of years of cover up is that everybody is, people are skittish about taking anything at face value. So Morlino's statement was powerful and potent and exactly what was needed. And I hope others follow suit. I am seeing around the country, Teresa, a number of priests who are preaching in a manner as just as forthright mm-hmm. as Bishop Morlino, and that's very helpful. So the higher up the pecking order you go, the more valuable those kinds of statements are. But I want to certainly give credit to the priests who are speaking in such a forthright manner as well.
Sure, but the only way anyway this is going to change is if we have complete involvement with the bishops admitting, as Morlino said over the weekend, that this is a problem. Because unless we root this out, it's just going to be more of the same.
Right, that's right. And for us as Catholic laity, I think we have to be thinking about, okay, what if they just sit on it? What if they don't do anything? And now I am going to name names. Okay, McCarrick. We now know, I think, based on McCarrick's behavior in 2002 and his subsequent behavior, I think we can say that man has no conscience, has no shame at all. He stood there in front of the cameras in 2002 and assured everybody that everything was fine, the bishops had everything under control, and now we know that in the background he was a predator himself and, may have been active even at that time as far as we know, So he stood in front of the camera and lied to us. And so that's the huge cloud of suspicion is like, okay, somebody else, who can we trust? And so as laity, we have to be prepared to change the playing field to the extent that we can. And I actually think there's quite a bit that we can do, whether the bishops do a darn thing or not, Teresa. And the three things that we can do is, number one, we need to listen to whistleblowers and we need to listen to victims and make them feel like nobody's going to judge them or give them a hard time because they told what happened to them. Second, we need to support whistleblowers. One of the things that has come out in a lot of these online discussions, Teresa, are the number of priests who have written in anonymously to places like Rod Dreher's site and said, you know, the reason we're keeping our heads down is because, number one, no matter what we say, it's not going to make any difference. And number two, we could be essentially exiled, you know, out of the priesthood completely. And then our people would be completely abandoned and there'd be nothing there.
So Jen, we have to take a break, so hold that thought, and we'll be back with more from Dr. Jennifer Robeck-Morse and her suggestions for the lady, how we get to this problem. First, we have to identify the problem and admit that it exists before we can do something about it, and the laity have a huge role to play here. 877-573-7825. We'll be right back.
Bishop Robert Barron on the priesthood.
Vatican II teaches that every baptized person is a participant in the threefold office of Jesus, which is priest, prophet, and king. So as priest, Christ is a sanctifier. He effects a reconciliation between divinity and humanity, right, by his great sacrifice on the cross. Every baptized person does indeed participate in that, in the measure that we all have that calling to reconcile divinity and humanity, to bring God to people and people to God. That's true of every baptized person. Vatican II further specifies that the ordained priesthood is different, not only in degree, but in kind. And it has to do with the identification between the ordained priest, I think, and the Mass, and a unique relationship to the sacraments. Every baptized person has a task of reconciling divinity and humanity. The ordained priest does it in this sort of heightened sacramental and Eucharistic way.
EWTN. Live truth. Live Catholic.
What's stopping you from becoming a Catholic?
Why can't women become priests?
I don't understand why I have to earn salvation.
How is it possible that God created everything?
Why do I need to confess my sins to a priest?
Why is the Catholic Church so unwilling to
The Catholic Church is too rich.
Catholics worship Mary and are committed.
As far as I'm concerned, all religions are equal.
You are called to communion with Dr. David Anders. Today, 2 p.m. Eastern, on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.
Countless Catholics settling for a life of faith that begins and ends with the obligatory Sunday Mass. While essential, giving just 1 hour of our lives to God can never satisfy our deep longing for a purposeful, joy-filled life. Hi, I'm Teresa Tomeo, host of Catholic Connection, and in my new book, Beyond Sunday, Becoming a 24/7 Catholic, I get real about what it takes for us to live as a Catholic every day of the week. You can purchase Beyond Sunday and a study guide at AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. It's Tuesday morning. It's August 21st. And remember that Jesus Christ is the same today, yesterday, and forever. We keep our eyes on Him, the author and finisher of our faith. And been talking, my goodness, several times a day with Al Cresta and other evangelists in the church in terms of how we approach this developing story and this big issue and how important it is and how crucial it is for the laity. And Al, in an email this morning, reminded several of us about what Benedict called for, then Pope Benedict years ago, calling for the laity to have co-responsibility, not just involvement and support, but co-responsibility. And the late, great Archbishop Fulton Sheen said it would always be the laity to turn things around in the church. He himself, as a bishop, as an archbishop, said, don't look to us, the laity, you guys have to make sure that you're keeping us in line. So wisdom from the great Fulton Sheen. We have a couple of calls. I think Helen just dropped from Florida, but phone lines are open, 877-573-7825. Dr. Jennifer Robeck-Morse with us this morning. I wanted to get back to the three things you said the laity could do. So number one was listen to the whistleblowers. Go over number two again for us, if you would.
Number two, you need to support the whistleblowers. So if your priest blows the whistle on somebody and then he is removed from service or he loses his position in the rectory and has no place to live, you need to be ready to give him a job or put him in an apartment over your house or whatever you have to support him in a material manner, because that is, you know, the bishop is his employer, is his boss, you know. So we have to be prepared to do that as laity, and we can do it. There's no reason we can't do that. And then finally, Teresa, we've got to get organized. Doggone it, there are a lot of bad people who are very well organized, who are very good at being organized. And, you know, if there were 5,000 people sitting on the bishop's porch or in his lawn saying, you know, you need to do X, Y, or Z, or you need to tell the truth about A, B, and C, the playing field would change, even if the bishops don't change their policies and procedures one iota, you know. So I think people need to be forming rosary groups, and you need to be meeting once a week to say the rosary. And as part of that rosary group, when you're done with your prayers, you need to educate yourself about what's going on in your community, educate yourself about the facts of human sexuality and church teaching. And of course, the Ruth Institute, we got tons of stuff that you can read if you want to educate yourself in a general way. But we need to have teams of people who are ready to put pressure on the bad clergy and support the good clergy. And that's what we don't have. And the people on the other side have all day long. All day long, they can pressure people into the direction that they want them to go. And that's what we need to do as laity.
All right. Well, Maura has a question from Wisconsin. She's from Wisconsin, which ties in directly to what you talk about, and especially what you talked about in the great article you did on Harvey Weinstein and McCarrick and how this was all able to happen. Maura calling from Burlington, right. Wisconsin. Hi, Maura. What's your question for Dr. Jennifer Robeck-Morse?
Yes, I was thinking that with the people involved in the scandal, the clergy and so forth, is that when they're almost like a high level of cafeteria Catholicism, where they're involved in the church to which it benefits them, and then they turn to sin or even almost an addictive state of mind with the sexuality. But then the people who react to the scandal, then they either want to walk away from the church or only pick and choose parts of the faith too. And so I agree that we have to double our efforts and do everything we can to engage with Eucharistic adoration, rosary, and so forth. But I wanted to, you know, it's a domino effect the church will be in a continual state of dissolution if nothing is done.
Right. Correct. Let me let Jen pick up. You made some excellent points, Jen.
Well, no, she did. She made some excellent points. And the one I'd like to emphasize right now is, again, the thing that the laity can do and need to be doing. And, you know, in my column about Harvey Weinstein and Theodore McCarrick, one of the things I point out is, you know, there are a lot of laity who complain if the priest preaches on pro-life topics. There are laity who say, gee, why are you firing this openly gay gym teacher or music director? We love that person here at our high school. What's the problem? Why are you doing this, Father? You know, so the laity have played a role. There's simply no question that the cafeteria Catholic laity have played a role in pushing the clergy to either soft-pedaling what they're doing, or, you know, either soft-pedaling church teaching or worse, you know, teaching things that are heretical. So I think I say that if you are shocked and appalled by what is going on by the hierarchy, I would encourage and challenge you to make sure that you yourself are not hanging on to some corner of the sexual revolution that you should be letting go of yourself. You know, that if you've got a guilty conscience over something, or you want to pass on this or that, or the third thing, and most of us at this point, and this is what my book, The Sexual State, is about, which we never got back to, but what the book is about.
Well, we'll have you on again, because there's so much to talk about.
Okay.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Many, many people are both victims of the sexual revolution and also perpetrators of the sexual revolution. You know, many people of our generation, Teresa, and younger, this is all they've ever known, is a sexual free-for-all where sex is an entitlement. You know, just don't get caught hurting anybody. And that mentality has got to go. And it's part of the air we breathe, you know. And so we're not even conscious of it. So what I would challenge all of your listeners to examine your conscience, look at any little corner of the thing or maybe some big thing that you've got that you're holding on to, and release it. Go to confession. Make amends to the people you've hurt, you know. I mean, if you want McCarrick to be repentant for the terrible things that he did, doggone it, we can be repentant for the much less important things that we did. I mean, all sin is important.
Right. Well, right? I've been saying all along that we can't give what we don't have. We have to make sure that our own spiritual house is in order before we go out and trying to address the situation. One more phone call. Helen wants to join us in the conversation, and she's calling in from Jacksonville, Florida. Hi, Helen. Real quick, we have about 2 minutes left. Go ahead.
Just wanted to say thank you, thank you, thank you. I've been saying this for years, that it's a homosexual problem, not a pedophilia problem, that it's been abuse of, you know, of teenagers and young adults, and now, you know, I understand the seminarians. But I also heard something years ago about Bishop Sheen having a convert from communism, Bella Dodd, who her job was to encourage homosexuals into the priesthood.
Mm-hmm.
Would this be where this all began?
That's a great question. She actually testified years ago before Congress about the communists infiltrating the church. And Wolf in Sheep's Clothing, the fantastic documentary that EWTN TV put on the air right before the election in 2016, did address some of this. So good point. And Jen, I'll let you have the last word. Again, have about a minute left here, so go ahead.
I'm going to just say one thing. It's true that this term that is used in the culture, homosexual and gay and so on, that describes what's going on here. But I would caution us about the term gay and homosexual, because that's got a lot of baggage attached to it. And so I try to use the phrase that describes what's happening. And if you look at the Ruth Institute put out a question and answer on the church scandal. And what we always do is use the phrase that says, like, male-on-male predation, you know, rather than use the word gay, because the word gay is a political word that has been carefully crafted to hide things rather than reveal them.
Yeah, so, Jen, great information. We're out of time. We're going to get cut off. But again, RuthInstitute.org, and we'll have Dr. Jennifer Welbeck Morse back on for her book, Sexual State, which just came out. Again, RuthInstitute.org. Check out her great work and her brand new book, Sexual State. Stay tuned. We'll be right back with Kelly Solomon, how your students can be strong when they go back to school. Stay tuned.
Dr. Ray Guarendi.
What's the definition of frustration? Frustration is the difference between the way it is and the way you want it to be. It's hard to change the way it is. The way it is sometimes is other people, life, circumstances. The way you want it to be is in your power to change. You can close the gap between reality and what you want. The smaller that gap, the less your frustration. It is always easier to change oneself than to change reality. Frustration isn't always what happens out there. It is how we look at what happens out there.
Christ is the answer with Father John Ricardo.
Are you passionate about Jesus? Are you zealous for Jesus? Are you fervent for Jesus? Are we fervent for the gospel? Are we passionate about helping this world come to know him? Is that true? It's not true for most people in the church. Is Jesus my best friend? Is he your best friend? I'm looking around the church. There's a set of guys in here who have great man caves. As I was praying this morning, I felt like the Lord said, hey, when are you going to come to my man cave? Like, you guys think a flat screen TV is really cool. Well, you should see what I got to offer. Because I and I alone, he says, can really give you what it is you're longing for. Whoever it is we're rooting for right now, they're going to lose eventually. Or whatever it is that's occupying our time, one day we're going to realize it really wasn't that important. Why aren't we hanging out with the one who alone can show us what life is really all about? When was the last time you hung out in the Lord's man cave?
Catholic Connection. Hope you're having a good Tuesday morning. 877-573-7825. It's that time of year again. I know many of our friends who have kids or grandkids in college have already shipped them all back and packed them up. Many schools start in August, some after Labor Day, but mostly I think colleges start this week or next week before Labor Day. And that's why we're so grateful for the great work of the folks at the Newman Society, newmansociety.org. Kelly Solomon has been on with us before. She's the editor of the Newman Guide. It is the time of year when Catholic students are heading off to college, and the Newman folks have great resources in how students can protect and grow their faith on campus. And Kelly, I can't think of a more important school season or semester when kids are going to need to really buckle down and take a look at your resources, because they are no doubt going to get attacked even more when they head back to school. Good morning. Thanks for joining us so much. Appreciate it.
Good morning. Thank you, Teresa, for having me on. That's right. You know, we've been working here at the Newman Society for, our founder, Patrick Riley, founded us 25 years ago to promote and defend faithful Catholic education. And so we hear about students, you know, keeping their faith on campus from all angles, from the Catholic colleges, from the parents, and from the students. And as they head back these weeks, you know, it's such an exciting time. They're going off, oftentimes living alone for their first time away from their parents. And how can they keep their faith on campus? You know, the common thread we hear in all the stories is that students keep their faith on campus when they found a good group of friends to support them and lift them up in their faith. You know, oftentimes when we hear that students lose their faith on campus, it's because they got in the wrong crowd. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, during these first couple of weeks, parents, encourage your students to find good groups of friends. And they can do this by getting involved with activities, you know, wholesome activities. Find things that you like, whether it's a competitive athletics team, or you like to altar serve, or you want to join the pro-life club. Go out and get involved and find students who have similar interests that you can build strong friendships with.
So what are some of the resources that are available specifically on your website, Kelly?
Yes. So if you go to newmansociety.org, you'll go to our Newman Guide section of the website. One of our flagship projects is how we promote faithful Catholic colleges. But in that section, you'll find tips for navigating the college search, and you'll also find tips for growing your faith on campus. You know, articles from bishops on basic steps for keeping your faith on campus, from going to Mass and confession and reading your catechism, to also tips for campus dating, to lots of things of how you can grow your faith. So I encourage you to go to our website and share these articles with your students who are heading off to college, with your friends that you know have students heading off to college, and even your local Catholic school principal, to get this on the radar for students in high school early.
We're chatting with Kelly Solomon, editor of the Newman Guide, newmansociety.org. If you have a question or maybe an example of how Hugh helped to store up and increase your college children's faith, 877-573-7825, 877-573-7825. Kelly, in terms of the feedback that you get, what are some of the most common attacks that a young Catholic going off to college will face in terms of challenges to their faith? What do you think?
Right. So they're being attacked in all sorts of areas of campus, from the classes, you know, to student life, living, residence life arrangements that tempt them in sins like chastity and sobriety, to student activities. You know, so our Newman Guide colleges, they're very proactive about making sure students grow in their faith right off the bat. You know, so they have daily Mass and rosary and adoration, and students get involved because there's lots of students participating in these. Some colleges go above and beyond, like there's Northeast Catholic College in New Hampshire, and they founded an agreement with Father Gately and the Marian Missionaries of Divine Mercy.
Uh-huh.
And so they're going to be on campus to make sure that students have extra resources. They're having a campus-wide retreat to kick off the year, and then they're doing their Hearts of Fire program throughout this fall semester. And I think that's just so encouraging because, you know, at colleges that aren't recommending the Newman Guide, students are going to find professors that are straying from church teaching in their theology classes. They're going to find student life that's scandalous to them. And so they have to take steps, you know, get involved, make good friends right away, take steps to grow in your faith, and then strive for excellence in your classroom and in everything you're doing.
Are you finding that this is happening both on not only public university campuses, but Catholic, quote-unquote, Catholic university campuses as well?
Yes, that's right. You know, we read an article the other day, we shared it on our Facebook page, about a student who was at a nominal Catholic college and what she was facing on that campus, and now she's transferring to a faithful Catholic Newman Guide recommended college, Christendom College, this fall, because, you know, she was tired of being attacked in her faith. College is a great time to grow in your faith and be prepared for your career and for making a difference in whatever vocation you're going to be living out, you know, whether that's married life, religious life, or single life. That, you know, the formation you can have at a faithful Catholic college will prepare you, you know, after those 4 years.
Yeah, that's a real interesting situation, because on one hand, if you're in that kind of a secular atmosphere, let's say at a public university, you really can strengthen yourself and learn how to go out into the world and be a good, you know, fair and reasonable debater and stand up for your faith. But at the same time, when you're trying to study and get a degree and you're probably working part-time and you've got projects you have to do, it can be exhausting. Because you really, if they find out that you're a Christian, especially a Catholic Christian, especially now, oh boy, you have a big target on your back.
Right. You know, and we give a lot of advice in our Newman Guide about how can students find the right college that's the right fit for them. You know, there might not be a Newman Guide college for every student, but we encourage you to look at it and take a look. But, you know, on secular campuses, there's often a lifeline, a Newman Center, where students can go and, you know, receive support in their faith, you know, at a faithful Catholic. So that might work, especially for a student who's strong in their faith. If they're rocky in their faith, you know, having faith formation throughout their classes, through student activities, you know, playing a sport at a faithful Catholic college is a different experience than playing it at a secular or nominal Catholic college. And so, you know, for a student who's maybe rocky in their faith or wants to build up their faith even more so that they can make a bigger difference after college, you know, they'll receive that across campus at these faithful Catholic colleges.
I've heard statistics and reports and surveys and whatnot, and you're probably more familiar with this than I am because it's your exact specific line of work, but that many Christian, especially Catholic students, lose their faith by the end of their first college semester. Have you heard that?
Yes, that's right. We've heard about 1 in 12 students. It's probably more now since that report came out. And that's on Catholic campuses. You know, so this is a real struggle. And students are making choices that are oftentimes going to live with them for many years after graduation. So those first couple weeks, you know, get out there, get involved with good, wholesome activities, and you'll have, you know, when you're pursuing the good, you'll have one of the most fulfilling times you could possibly imagine. And be prepared for, you know, whatever God's going to call you to do in your life. So those statistics about losing your faith are real. And you know, on the other hand, you can use this time to grow in virtues that will, you know, be with you forever.
Yeah, absolutely. We're chatting with Kelly Solomon. She's the editor of the Newman Guide, resources for students to protect and grow their faith on campus. We did have a woman call off air, had a question for you. She was wondering, Kelly, if you have any information about seminaries, because she says she has a son considering the seminary, and of course, they want one that's not being identified in this crisis that we're facing right now. I'm wondering if you haven't done that yet, if that's something you're going to start looking at.
Yes, you know, we focus right now on undergraduate colleges, and we also have a high school honor roll program that recently expanded into elementary and secondary schools. So you can go to our website and find information at newmansociety.org about all of the faithful colleges we recommend, all of the elementary, secondary, and high schools that we recommend, and we're hoping to eventually move into graduate schools. In addition to the question about seminaries, we often get questions about graduate programs. So hopefully that's something we'll be able to move into. So we don't recommend, we don't explore in-depth seminaries right now. One of our Newman Guide colleges, Holy Apostles, is part undergraduate, part undergraduate college and also seminary. But other than that, we haven't looked into seminaries.
All right. Well, listen, appreciate all of your great insight. Give us a website again and where we can find the information.
Yes, go to newmansociety.org, and under the Newman Guide, you'll find resources on how students can keep their faith on campus. I encourage you to share those articles and, you know, share those tips for navigating college search for students who are heading off to their junior or senior year in high school as well. And and get it on their radar early that it's important to prepare for how you can find a place where you'll grow in your faith on campus.
Well, Kelly, appreciate all your great work and our friends at the Newman Society, newmansociety.org, the Newman Guide. She's the editor of that wonderful publication. It's a Tuesday morning wrapping up. Can't believe it went by so quickly. Our Tuesday edition of Catholic Connection, a co-production of course, Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. When we come back, some thoughts as we move forward in dealing with this crisis head on. And we'll also tell you what's coming up on the program tomorrow as well. You don't want to miss it. We will be right back. It is Catholic Connection, again, a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN. Stay tuned.
Abortion.
Pornography.
Embryonic stem cell research.
Corporate contributions to Planned Parenthood. Do you invest in companies that are engaged in these practices? The Ave Maria Mutual Funds do not, and their investment portfolios reflect that. Ave Maria Mutual Funds are managed to conform to pro-life and pro-family values. Long-term investors can invest in the no-load Ave Maria Mutual Funds. You can learn more about the Ave Maria Mutual Funds today at 866-AVE-MARIA or visit AveMariaFunds.com.
People ask how they can care for older family members who can't fully care for themselves. One answer is Visiting Angels, America's choice in senior home care. Visiting Angels assists adults nationwide with 600 locations to continue living at home and not have to move into a nursing home. Their caregivers provide assistance in hygiene, meals, and light housework. Services are provided up to 24 hours per day, and you can select your caregiver before service begins. More information, including franchise opportunities, is on the web at visitingangels.com.
Hello, this is Steve Ray. I'd like to invite you to go on a pilgrimage with me. Why a pilgrimage? It's life-changing. It makes the Bible come alive. We have several coming up in the fall and winter of this year. St. Paul Cruz, 9 biblical sites, Mexico and Guadalupe. It's very safe and beautiful, by the way, and many to the Holy Land.
Pick the pilgrimage that's right for you. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and click on the pilgrimage link. There's two coming up and a lot more to come. AveMariaRadio.net. Cresta in the Afternoon is underwritten by the following nonprofit organization, Real Estate for Life. Buying or selling your home or business property? Real Estate for Life can connect you to one of 900 pro-life real estate agents around the world. When Real Estate for Life receives a referral fee, they donate 80% to Father Bouquet's Human Life International. More information at realestateforlife.org or 877-LIFE-US1. That's realestateforlife.org.
Don't forget, you can go to AveMariaRadio.net, the archive section. By the middle of the day, my stellar producer, Andrew Kruchek, always posts the program, the archives, if you want to send the link to someone to hear what we discuss this morning or any day here on Catholic Connection. Go to AveMariaRadio.net and the archive section. And Andrew breaks it down in terms of the actual times of the interviews and the guests and links to their website and information as well. So that's very helpful. Again, the archive section at AveMariaRadio.net. Coming up tomorrow, we're going to be chatting with Father Thomas Berg, author of a book that came out actually last year, but is extremely timely, and I'm sure will be very popular in terms of purchasing this for some direction as to where we go, not only how we heal, but how we change what's happening right now. Father Thomas Berg, author of Hurting in the Church, A Way Forward for Wounded Catholics. He's our guest tomorrow on the first part of the program. And then with all the activity going on in Rome regarding the Holy Father's letter, not to mention the world meeting of families, the Holy Father will be heading to Ireland toward the end of the week. And two of our cardinals here in the United States backing out of their presentations because of issues related to the latest crisis in the church, Cardinal Worrell and Cardinal O'Malley, Cardinal Worrell from the Archdiocese of Washington and Cardinal O'Malley from the Archdiocese of Boston, both staying back. Cardinal O'Malley is saying that he needs to address a very big problem that was discovered at his seminary there. And then also Cardinal Worrell is facing a lot of pushback because of some of the issues that were brought out in the report that came from Pennsylvania. So we'll talk about that with Joan tomorrow, and she's in Rome covering all of this. So that's our program for a Wednesday morning. Also, I wanted to leave you with a few thoughts. I did my Our Sunday Visitor column that I do. I do a column twice a month for Our Sunday Visitor called Eye on Culture. And I focused on the program that we had with Father John nearly 2 weeks ago. It'll be 2 weeks tomorrow. 2 weeks ago tomorrow that we had Father John on for 2 hours, allowing you to call in. Just to let you know that Ave Maria Radio and Henry Root are going to be turning that into a special edition of Christ is the Answer, because we had so much positive feedback and people wanting to share that entire program. He was actually on with me for 2 hours. We did the regional hour with him, kind of setting the stage, background, and then just open up the phone lines, if you remember, 2 weeks ago on a Wednesday. So in my most recent column for Our Sunday Visitor, I talked about the importance of helping people, allowing you, our listeners, and fellow concerned Catholics to vent. And I talked about the fact that many of you came forward. You were frustrated. We were angry. We felt betrayed. We felt a deep sadness for the victims of sexual abuse, past and present. And I mentioned that one caller in particular was truly despondent, so much so that he told us he was ready to give up and walk away from Catholicism altogether. He had had enough. He explained he just didn't see much hope for the church. And then we mentioned the man that called in, if you remember, and he was talking about being sexually abused by a family member many years ago and shared how through the sacraments he was able to find healing for himself and eventually forgive his abuser, who was actually a relative. He also expressed how he didn't think he would have gotten to that point without the gifts of the faith. So my thoughts are is that we remember the beauty and teaching of the church, and we keep our eyes focused on Jesus. In the conversation I had with Father John years ago, when I had some questions, he asked me point blank, is it real? Are the teachings real? Of course they're real. We're going to hear that in the gospel this weekend. The gospel is from the Eucharistic discourse, and the disciples, some of the disciples leaving after they hear Jesus talking about him being the bread of life. And then he turns to his disciples and says, so are you going to leave too? And what does Peter say? Where do we go, Lord? Only you have the words of everlasting life. So I end this article by saying, of course, I knew what Father John was getting at. If we really believe in the Eucharist and the other beautiful teachings of the Church, which in my case, especially where my marriage and my own spiritual salvation were concerned, quite literally saved my life, then one doesn't walk away when the situation gets really tough. If it's true, then we stay. We fight for those truths and help others fight for them as well. Over the centuries in the church, it has often been the laity that was responsible for getting the battered and often bruised bark of Peter back on course. Now is not the time to abandon ship. Talk to you tomorrow on a Wednesday. Stay strong in the Lord and keep your eyes on Jesus. We'll see you then.
You've been listening to Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo. Catholic Connection is a co-production of Ave Maria Radio and EWTN Radio and carried across the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Our producer is Andrew Kruchek. For copies of this program or for more information, visit AveMariaRadio.net. That's AveMariaRadio.net. Thanks for listening and join us next time for another edition of Catholic Connection.